in the Lord. Are you all joyful in the Lord? And the Bible says, and rejoice in the Lord always. And again, man of God instructs, rejoice in the Lord. Let's open our Bible to John chapter. Going through a beautiful journey along with our Lord Jesus Christ. One of the marvelous conversations, one of the beautiful, patient, long-suffering conversations of Jesus Christ, which brought forth the victory, the life of one woman, as well as an entire town. We all know this story. Before we go into the close our eyes, coming out of the Father in heaven, Lord, once again, thank you for this time which you have given to us. Even as you have brought us into the precious time of listening to you from your word, Lord, we commit all of our lives into your hands. Lord, our hearts and minds we submit unto you, surrender unto you. Even as you speak from the throne of grace from heaven, help all of us to understand your heart and mind in the scripture and help us to know what it is for us in the scripture and how we will be able to rejoice in you in our lives as well, Lord. Even as you have brought forth the victory, the life of this woman and this town. So we commit this scripture into your hands and all of us into your hands. With honor and glory and praise unto you. In Lord Jesus Christ's name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. So I will treat this as our Victor Homestead study today. You have to follow me. Fourth Monday of this month, right? So it's a Bible study Monday for all of us. So I want you to open your Bibles, everyone. John chapter 4, verse 1 onwards, I am reading. All of us. Focus on the scriptures. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. Although, in fact, it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So when the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. So to understand the context and the time and the place, everything, we need to just study this first scripture. Jesus was ministering in the province of Judea, which is the southern part of Israel. So Jesus was born in Nazareth. Jesus started his ministry at the age of 30. He was in Galilee, within Judea, then he went back to Galilee. And his second trip, he came back to Judea. And in the province of Judea, Jesus was ministering to many of the Israelites. By the time John already ministered by the way of calling everybody for repentance to the way of baptism. So Jesus' disciples also were now calling everybody to repentance for their sins, which is through the way of water baptism. So many, many Israelites were coming to the disciples who were baptizing them for the repentance of this, because everyone is coming and repenting their sins. But the Pharisees, they heard that it is Jesus who is baptizing. They thought like that. They assumed like that. And they were angry with Jesus and they were assuming that Jesus is gaining more disciples than John, because everybody knew about John. So at that time, Jesus took a wise decision. Repeating, Jesus took a wise decision not to stay back in the place of Judea. He said, I will go back to Galilee to continue my ministry. At the right time again, I come back to Judea. So that was the time and the context of the place. Right? So now he had to go back to his birthplace, which is Nazareth or the province of Galilee. There is Judea, there is Samaria, there is Galilee. So there is a straight path from Judea to Galilee. But there is a problem. So many of you might be knowing that, but the problem was the middle province of Samaria was filled with a mixed race of Israelites who were brought there in 800 BCE by King Shalmaneser of Assyria. He was the one who brought some of the Israelites and also some of the Assyrians and placed them in the province of Samaria. And in the due course of time, there was an intermarriage between Israelites and the Syrians. And there was a mixed race. And the people of the Israelites, who were the full race of Israelites, in the due course of time, what they have done is, we don't want to meet these mixed race people. So they were outcasts in the province of Israel at the time Jesus was born. So everyone, when they want to travel from Judea to Galilee, they used to take a U-turn across the river Jordan, a long path. However, Jesus took a straight path from Judea unto Galilee through Samaria. Why? That's what we are going to understand today. Right? So now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about 6th hour. 6th hour is 12 noon. I'm reading from NIV. Second project NIV also, it would be easy for everybody. Project NIV. Tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the 6th hour, which is 12 noon. So in the midday, it's very hot. Jesus traveling by walk. We all know that in those days, the traveling media was either horses or donkeys, or you have to travel by foot. So Jesus was traveling by foot, and he was tired. And when he came there, he was very tired. He was thirsty. He saw that well, called Jacob's well, the outskirts of the town called Sychar. At that time, when a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me drink?" This is the first word conversation. Jesus asked that woman, "Will you give me drink?" So here we are going to understand a lot of things which can't find directly in the scripture. It is important for us to go and keep being the light. You will understand it by the end of this sermon. So when Jesus asked this woman, "Will you give me a drink?" When she first saw Jesus, she understood who this man is. Because the way how the Israelite dresses versus the Samaritan dresses is not same. Not only that, by the way Jesus asked the drink, his language, his attire, and also his spoken word reminded her that this man is from the Judean province or the Galilean province, who is actually traveling through Samaria. He is not a Samaritan. She quite well understood that this man is not a Samaritan. And also, Jesus was just looking like anybody. Many think that Jesus looks very different in those times, because our movies had brainwashed us, seeing Jesus as somebody very specific, very peculiar, with a halo, with not halo. He is outstanding again in the crowd. Jesus was never that one. If 10 people, 10 Israelites are walking, nobody can recognize Jesus.
Differentiate between us. We all look same. Jesus was an Israelite, like a Peter, like John, like all his disciples, and all were walking, and Jesus was also walking. He's just another man for that woman. So he identified him as a man, and also this man is coming from Judean province, which means he is a true Israelite, which is a full Israelite, not a mixed race. So then she got a doubt. How come this man is even talking to me? Because in her past experience, there were many Jews who did not even come to the place. If for adventure one or two Jews came, they would see the Samaritan people as outcasts and they would walk away and go to their place. That was the history of that place that she knew very well because she was living in that place. So that's why when Jesus asked her, will you give me a drink? Instead of giving a drink, she asked another question back to Jesus. Let's see. The Samaritan woman said to him, you are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? This is the question. How can you ask me a drink? Because none of them asked. I have never seen in my life anybody ask to talk to me. How can you ask me this? Violating your all the Jewish rules. How can you ask me a drink? That's a question back instead of giving what? Then what would be the possible answers of Jesus? Generally, if you and me are there, we would also have responded. Woman, don't worry, I am not a racist. I am thirsty, first of all, please give me a drink. For me, whether you are a Samaritan woman or a Jewish woman, it doesn't matter at this time. I am thirsty. That's why I am asking you a drink. Otherwise, another possible answer of Jesus was that one, is that many Jews might have considered all of you as an outcast. But as for me, personally, I don't consider you all as an outcast. So will you please give me a drink? Am I right? That would have been the logical, day-to-day, normal answer. Because she asked the question. She did not answer Jesus. Will you give me a drink? Yes, I will give you. No, I will not give you. These are the two possible answers. She did not do that one. Instead, she asked a question back to Jesus. How can you ask me a drink, you being a Jew? Alright? Now Jesus answered her. What are the possible answers? These two. But he answered not in the way of normal conversation. Jesus answered a third answer. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you a living water. Something astonishingly new conversation, new words that woman never heard in her life. Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God and also who is it that he is asking you this water, you would have asked him about water. It's not me asking you water. On the contrary, you will ask me water, which is not a normal water, it is a living water. That woman's mind is now in confusion now. Something new term she is hearing for the first time. Living water. Because she's a normal woman living in that area, she goes to the well in the mid-noon, gets her water, goes back to her town. That's her duty. And Jesus was telling, I will give you the living water, and you would have asked me if you had known the gift of God. So, in the conversation from the water, Jesus brought God into picture. Am I right? There was no God at all in the initial conversation. It was about the racism. It was about a thirst. That is what it started with. But Jesus brought immediately God into conversation. If you knew the gift of God, and if you knew who is asking you this water, you would have in return asked me, and I would have given you the living water. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? What is going on in their mind? Jesus was talking about, you will ask me and I will give you living water. So there is a well, there is a water. This woman is telling, is there a place in the same well where a special living water is available, which I don't know? That's exactly what she was asking. Because she don't know what living water is. Her mind even did not go to God and gift, not yet. She is still in the conversation of normal conversation. She is talking about water. Because this man asked me water. And then he is talking now about living water. She is telling, you don't have something to get the water from this well. Where will you get this special living water? Which I can't get it. Right? Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with. And the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself? As did also his sons and his flocks and herds. Now she is boasting about her inheritance of this well. This well is not a new well. It was 2000 years old well. Way back in Genesis, when Jacob gave it to his sons, and there was a well there. And that came in that same land, Shechem. Actually, it's continuing. Now that the Samaritans were living, they revered their past and they are glorying their inheritance, saying that our father Jacob had given this well. Are you greater than him? Because you are now talking about something living water. We only drank water from this well till now. Is there anything special? Are you going to do any miracle to make this water as living water? She's still thinking in that term. She's still here in the conversation. Right? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds? Then Jesus answered. The question is, what is the question? Are you greater than our father Jacob? What should be the answer? Yes, I am greater than your father Jacob. What would be the other answer? No, I am not greater than your father Jacob. Am I right? The possible answers: yes, no, because she's asking a pointed question. Are you greater than our father Jacob? That's the pointed question. And Jesus gave the third answer, as usual. Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up for eternal life. Very heavy words for her, I'm telling you. Very, very, very heavy words. She never heard such kind of words in her entire lifetime. Mark my words. And this one single statement by Jesus, she did not understand at all. Because what did Jesus say? Very simple. Everyone who drinks this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks the water which I give, because already the conversation is that, if you ask me, I will give you the living water. So Jesus is continuing that same conversation. So whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling into eternal life. Right? In all the statements, she only caught one word. Do you know what is that? Never thirst. If I drink this water, I will never thirst. So she's still thinking it's something miracle or magic that this man is doing. He's some kind of a man with little powers who can do some change in the water, make it living water, make us drink and never thirst again. So she's still in that play. Because the conversation is going on. The Lord is actually making her come from the level of where she was to a place where she's going to understand who he is. Correct?
Yes.
The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. Normal answer. Straightforward, honest, because he didn't understand. We sitting, we know the entire Bible, we see very differently the statement, because we are all saved and we knew the spring of water which gave us eternal life. But you have to go and put your feet in the woman's shoes and see it. She gave a very honest answer. Jesus, man, you are talking about some water. You said you are going to give it to us, by which we will never thirst. Please give it to me so that I don't want to come every day in the mid-noon. You know why she comes in the mid-noon? She don't want to be seen by anybody. But there is a story which is coming up. So the woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. Fine. Now you came to a question here. You are asking me now, right? Who asked water first? Right? Jesus asked water. Did she give water? By this time, did Jesus drink a glass of water? Not yet. The conversation is still going on. And now the conversation came to a place where the woman is asking Jesus back this water. Right? Please give me this water. Fine, I'll give you. Jesus said, first go and call your husband. Again, please give me this water. Means I will give you immediately, or I will not give you, or come tomorrow, I will give you. So many answers were there. What is this something very peculiar answer? Go and call your husband. She's asking what? And Jesus is telling you, go call your husband and come back. And then she said, as I told you, she's a very honest woman. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. So Jesus just disclosed her past life for the past many years, because it went back to her life of five previous marriages and five divorces. And then the sixth one, the man with whom she is living, is not her husband because she is living together with him in the modern day terms. And you know why the past five divorces happened? Is because of this promiscuous nature of this woman. In Israel, the divorce happens when a cheating happens or a promiscuity happens between husband and woman, especially the woman. So that is the standard. So when there was five divorces, so the reason why all those men were leaving this woman is because of her promiscuity. And Jesus is telling, now you are not even marrying, you are continuing your promiscuity. So Jesus disclosed her sinful past, not to point finger at her, or not to shame her. You will be astonished why Jesus brought this one. The reason Jesus brought this word and asked her to bring her husband and also disclosed her past, the answer is in the next statement by the woman. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Let's not go to the 20th verse. I'm still in verse 19. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Only a prophet can see the past, present, and future. You know, whole Israel knows that one. Not everyone has this ability to tell about someone's past without knowing it, or a future which is going to happen without knowledge. Who can say that one in entire Israel? They have a 2000 years of history, the nation of Israel. All of them know it. So if you are saying the past of me for the last 10 years, and you being a Jew, not even stepping in this place once, because Jews won't even land in Samaria, how can you tell about exact number which happened more than 10 or years back? So what she understood is that this man is not just a man, but he is a prophet. So Jesus brought her to identify Jesus as not a man. First he was a man to her, now she's identifying Jesus as a prophet. That's not enough. So Jesus continued the conversation. As I told you, the reason why he disclosed is for her to identify that he's a prophet. Because Jesus is a prophet, of course. Only a prophet can actually tell about past, present, and future, right? Okay, now we are moving into 20. Now, the moment she understood about prophet, now she's starting a conversation about God. Previously, Jesus introduced about God, am I right? If you knew the gift of God, and if you knew who is it that is asking you, you would ask me the living water. I would have given the living water. So the God was brought in the conversation. She did not even bother at that time. She was only conversing about the water and asking him. But when she identified Jesus as prophet, prophets are but the spokesperson of God. Am I right? Now she understood that, okay, he is a godly man, and she wanted to start a godly conversation from the normal conversation. So that's why she told, verse 20, our fathers worship on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. She wanted to have a debate with this prophet. Let's talk about worship now. Jesus, you are talking about God, now you know you are a prophet, I understood that one. My fathers taught me, all of my forefathers, everybody said, I have to worship on Mount Gerizim. The mountain is name is Gerizim. So we have to worship only here. That's what my father. But you always come and debate with us. You always fight with our Samaritans that we have to come to Jerusalem and worship. That's the only place to worship. So that's her doubt. So she wanted to get clarity on that one because he's a prophet. So she started the conversation knowing that he is a prophet. Jesus is now a prophet. Jesus declared, believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. Because everything what they were following is the human traditions which were brought down, brought forth into their lives. There was no worship in the entire Samaria. Only Jeroboam made a false worship in Ephraim and Dan. So this is the place of Ephraim. So they only were listening to their fathers and trying to follow what their father said. So number one, she is not knowing what true worship is. She does not know where to worship, how to worship, nothing at all. But all she knew is that we have to worship God. So that's what she told Jesus. Our fathers told us we should come and worship on the Mount Gerizim. So there is a place for us to worship. Jesus said, believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You said other thing, right? Till now, the Jews who were coming to you were claiming that you have to come to Jerusalem and worship. That is what you have heard. Now I am declaring to you. Who were they who told that woman to come and worship in Jerusalem? It was the prophets. Understand this carefully. So you are telling me a prophet, but other prophets told you that you all have to come to Jerusalem. But I am telling you something very new to you, which you never heard from any prophets in the past. This is the first time you are going to hear this one. Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain Gerizim nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. Their object of worship also is false. Their place of worship is false. Their object of worship is also false. Because they do not know, what is it written? You Samaritans worship what you do not know. Not where you are supposed to. What you do not know. So they don't even know whom they are worshipping. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews, which means we know the object of worship, which means we know whom to worship. And we know the place. Our prophets might have told you that it is in Jerusalem that we all have to worship. But here, Jesus is telling, there is a time that is coming when neither on Gerizim nor in Jerusalem you will worship the Father. Yet a time is coming and has now come. This is the time I'm talking about. When true the worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshipper the Father seeks. God is spirit and his worshippers must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now Jesus is declaring some marvelous truth to this woman. Woman, till now, you don't know whom to worship. You don't know where to worship. Not only that, you having an unrepentant heart, because she is continually, habitually living in a sin, she's still saying that we all go to Mount Gerizim and we'll worship God. So, she does not even what kind of worship God wants. Where to worship, whom to worship, how to worship, nothing she knows. That's where God is introducing, Jesus is introducing to that woman all of these things. Where to worship? It is not on mountains or not in Jerusalem. But a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipper will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. In spirit is the place of worship. It is not a physical place. You have to worship in your own soul, which is exact image and likeness of God, who is the Spirit. So God is not corporeal. God does not have a body like ears and hands and legs. God does not have. God is a spirit. And then for you to understand what spirit is, the same spirit is in you, a created spirit. Am I right? How are we created? We were created in the image and likeness of God. And then the body came, that soul entered into the body, which means it's not body, but people objectify God and then say God has hands and legs and image, they make God's image. So God is telling, God is spirit and his worshippers must worship. It's mandatory. It's not an option. So there is a manner of worship. There is a place of worship from your soul, and there is a kind of worship which is in truth, which means, number one, truth is opposite of hypocrisy. Truth is opposite of ignorance. Right? There are many who hypocritically worship. The woman is hypocritically worshiping God. She doesn't have any repentance in her life, yet she goes to Gerizim. As a tradition, she continues. That's a hypocritical worship. Pharisees used to worship. All those teachers of the law and Sadducees used to worship. So, Jesus is reminding that woman, this kind of worship is not the kind of worship God seeks. That's why, for they are the kind of worshiper the Father seeks. Seeks is the present continuous tense. It's not Father sought, but Father is going to seek in the future. From day one, this is the manner of worship, this is the kind of worship God always asked. So the Old Testament, the prophets and the men of God always worshipped in spirit and in truth. However, that is not a comprehensive way which we understand worshipping in spirit and truth. I will come to that. But the temple worship was given to them only as a shadow and a figure for them to know the true God and worship him in spirit and in truth, which they objectified and then completely went away. And then there is another sect which are Samaritans who don't even know whom to worship, where to worship, how to worship. So here Jesus is bringing this marvelous truth that God is spirit. In the entire Bible, there is no other place this verse is written. Do you know that? In the entire Bible, God explaining that he is a spirit is only in this verse. And this is the one truth, only truth. God is spirit and his worshippers must worship him in spirit and in truth. So it's not bodily worship. It's not a place-based worship. It's not a hypocritical worship, or it is not an ignorant worship. But you have to understand who you are worshipping. What he did for you, the Almighty God. So with this statement, now her eyes were being opened one by one, one by one. Because she understood Jesus as a prophet till now, right? But this prophet is again very, very peculiar. He did not recommend going to Jerusalem and worship for her. Because all the other prophets, because she told that one, you Jews and you prophets, you come and ask us to go to Jerusalem. But after this statement, see the response of that woman. The woman said, I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Suddenly, Messiah in her mind, where was this Messiah four conversations back? There is not even God in her mind. She did not even think about God. But who brought her into this place where her mind is now thinking about the coming anointed one, coming Christ? It is Jesus who led her to this place when she's now thinking about all she learned in her past, in her life, from her father or from her teachers. That, because she's an Israelite as well, right? She's a mixed race. She's an Israelite woman with a mixed race of the Syrians. So she knew about Christ. Entire Israel knew. Every one of them knew about the anointed one. They all read about the prophecies. So then they are eagerly waiting for this Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one. What she identified is the statement which you have given, right? How to worship God, which, in what manner to worship, where to worship, spirit and in truth. These words triggered in her mind that this is not something normal prophets can tell. There is something only God's son can tell, which is reserved for future. That's what she knew. Now she's telling, these kind of words, we were taught that only Christ will come and tell us. So now she came to a place where now she's seeing that normal Israelite man to a prophet. Now the prophet is now appearing to her. He's able to see through Christ in Jesus. Then Jesus declared, I who speak to you am he. He could have told that when she asked about first. I am Christ the anointed directly from heaven, landed here. He could have told. He has every authority to tell everybody in this world that he is God and he is the Son of God and he came down from heaven. No. In a patient conversation, in a loving conversation, in a manner that wanted that woman to come to a place where she identifies him in Christ. God, Jesus did not declare first, am I right? She, who, the word Christ came from whose mouth first? From the woman's mouth. She said that, I know that Christ will come and explain everything to us. And that's the kind of thing you are trying to give explanation to us. So she's in confusion. And Jesus clarified her confusion saying that one, that Christ is me. Right? I who speak to you am he. Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, what do you want? Or why are you talking with her? The disciples, as usual, they came. They waited away from Jesus, did not disturb him. Then, leaving her water jar, the moment Jesus declared that he is Christ, the next moment, she did not give water yet to Jesus. Because Jesus asked normal water first, thirsty. She did not give. She left the jar. Because now her state has completely changed. She is not even worried about what is happening in the present. Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Because I had a conversation. He's not a normal man. He's not even a normal prophet. He's talking about true worship, which none of us have even heard in our lifetime. Is this Christ? Could this be the Christ? Come, can you come and let us come and go and see? So she's unable to keep up the spring of the living water that is already flowing in there. Am I right? That's what Jesus offered. Because she asked him water. Even though she does not know what water is, she asked that living water. Jesus already gave her water. What is that water? Rhema. That is the word which is verse 21 onwards to verse 24 is the Rhema. That's the key scripture in the entire conversation. The moment she heard it, the well, the spring of the living water started flowing. She could not contain herself. She ran and told all her town members. Who knew her? They knew her. Five husbands and everything they knew him. That's why they are able to correlate now. That's why she told that, see, a man who told me everything I ever did, could this be the Christ? They came out of the town and made their way toward him. So meanwhile, when she went into the town, there is another small conversation, sub-conversation happened between Jesus and disciples. I'm not going to take that one. But this is about hunger. Previous conversation is about thirst. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst about righteousness, and they will be filled. What a beautiful conversation. Jesus talked about hunger and what kind of hunger. I will not go to that one. We'll come to verse 39. So many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. Right? So when she, what is the testimony? Because this man told about 10 years past, and Jews don't even know about anybody in Samaria. This man told all about me, and they know about her, so that's why now they believed. So many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. Now the conversation happened for the next 48 hours. That's what I'm saying, we need to read between the lines. Nothing is, not everything is written in the scriptures for us. Jesus went into the town Sychar, sat with the entire town, and then discoursed with them all the kingdom words of God. Then what happened? They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because what you said." Because she only gave one testimony, that this man told my past and that he is not a normal prophet. I am already understanding he is a Christ. That's what she told. But now after listening to Jesus about the kingdom word, which is the Rhema again, which is not written here, 2 days conversation, what happened? "We no longer believe just because what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves and we know that this man really is the savior of the world." So the entire town believed that he is the Messiah, he is the Christ. Jesus wants everyone to know him as Christ, not prophet, not man, not Israel. That's the lesson of this story of the Samaritan woman. And it is Jesus who brought her from the place of a normal conversation and a basic understanding, a day-to-day understanding of any human being, to a place where he revealed himself through him. He did not disclose everything. She's coming back. I was wondering whenever I studied this one, what if she just gave water and sent him away? Jesus said, "Give me some water." Take water. Jesus goes that way, this woman goes that way. "Why are you asking me water?" That's the question she started. Jesus did not leave. That question led her to her victory in her life. Another reading between the lines, she stopped all her promiscuity. She became a believer, and we will see her in the heaven in God's name. So this is the beautiful story of the Samaritan woman, because Samaritan woman is preached millions and millions of times in this world for the last 2000 years. But something the Lord has led me in a very, very different way. 4 months back, this sermon is not prepared today. For this victory night, 4 months back, the Lord has put this one. And then I was so thankful to the Lord when the promise of this week came in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. "Everyone who believes Jesus is Christ are born of God." This is what is believing Jesus is Christ. So let's open 1 John chapter 5. Some other verses also we'll read and we'll close. Verse 11 I'm reading. 1 John chapter 5 verse 11. "God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life." So the Sychar town and the Samaritan woman received, believed Jesus as Christ, as Son of God, and they had eternal life welling up in them as a spring of life. Not only they went on and on and on and preached to many. What about you and me? If that same spring of water is in you, which is welling up, are you containing it or are you taking it and giving this gospel to everyone? This is a victory night. We should not be satisfied with our own victories. The victory what we have received and we are receiving, it's a duty for us that we also go forth and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyone for the men to be saved. Let's close our eyes. Shall we all stand for a while? Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to say thank you, for you are that spring of living water who came to your life, Lord. Lord, in those days when you reached out to the Samaritan woman in the Sychar, they have received. But Lord, each one of us sitting here as well, Lord, in our own times, we have seen you. First, we have only known you as a man, Jesus. But Lord, you have revealed yourself unto all of us as Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, who saved our lives, who is the Savior of the whole world. Lord, we want to say thank you for this privilege of knowing you, Lord. But for you, we cannot know you, Lord. It is you, in our own times and in our own testimonies in our past lives, that you encountered us, Lord. You came to our lives. Even before we loved you, you loved us. And you made us your precious children. We want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for this precious word. Even as we continue to minister to each other, Lord, in prayer, be with us, Lord. Lead us and guide us to the rest of the time as well. Committing all of us into your hands. With honor and glory and praise unto you. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Please take your seat. Let us take this time. Jesus. These words are not man's words. I'm just a vessel, as you all know. It is for the edification of each other. The Lord's word always comes with power from on high. I give all glory to the Lord alone. So, if anyone wants to be ministered in prayer, if you have any needs, please come forward. I request all the elders to come forward. And even choir also to come and minister to us in a song, so that we'll take the next 10 minutes in prayer. I just want to encourage you to wait upon the Lord. Even as that woman waited upon the Lord, she received the victory at the end. She did not receive the victory at the beginning. So if you wait upon the Lord, even as the Lord is conversing with us in our own lives, you will hear and hear and hear. The Lord will take you to the place of it. That's the promise of God. So let us worship the Lord with spirit and in truth. Forget about your body. You can be anywhere, any place, any way. Make sure that your spirit is worshipping the truth, God who is spirit, in truth. Please come forward. Anyone wants to be ministered?